I just have a hard time buying Al Pacino beating up Henry Rollins.
Geek Juice Radio.
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? Was the Jello?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Everyone, and welcome to another fun episode of Geek Juice Radio.
Will you stop lying?
Well, hey.
Well, I love that his voice goes up an octave when he's doing the intro, too.
Yeah, it probably should go down. My voice is pretty high enough as it is.
Hey, right? Alex puts on fake voice. My wife used to do that. She worked at an insurance company, and you could tell I'd be sitting in the room talking to her, and she'd just be talking normal, and the phone would ring, and her voice would go up an octave, and, you know, she'd go into phone voice.
Yeah, I get that. Well, that's probably from being in telemarketing that I do that. My fake excitement.
You have no fake excitement. I work with you. I know you have no fake excitement.
Well, I don't get fake excited for the people I talk to nowadays, but when I had to sell stuff, I had to pretend I was...
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Pretend you were interested in what you were selling?
Yeah.
Tool.
Nowadays, it's just like... I let them clearly know, hey, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. so you're like Brad Pitt in the World War Z trailer. Total, I don't give a f*** mode.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean, no, you guys tell me, in that trailer, does he look like he even wants to be in this movie?
No, he looks like he's just give me the check.
Yeah, in fact, they shouldn't even call it World War Z. Based on that trailer, a proper title for that movie is, and not a single f*** was given that day.
Well, did you see somebody got into a fight with me on Facebook? Or actually, he refused to fight with me because he put up the new Evil Dead remake trailer and said how awesome it looks. And I exclaimed, no, it doesn't. And he asked why. And I went into all the reasons about why those are not Deadites and this is not Evil Dead and it's more like an Evil Dead knockoff. He goes, oh, you're one of those people. There's no point talking to people like you. Just like, excuse me. I was pissed at being dismissed like that. Oh, you're one of those people.
You're one of those people that likes the original movie because it was better.
The trailer starts out with some promise. I'm like, okay, that looks all right. And then it goes all like modern slasher horror film on everybody and has that same
being
like...
a Deadite is not self-mutilation. I mean, it seems like people saw, Ash cut his own hand off. Yeah, that's self-mutilation. Exactly. Let's make the whole movie. He did that to stop being possessed, not because he was possessed.
Exactly. But it's got that same, like, brown-gray filter from, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Hills Have Eyes, the remakes.
Or Saw.
Saw, yeah. That same filter. And I'm watching this, and, like, this looks awful because it looks... I don't know how to describe it other than it looks too modern. And modern horror films
Kevin,
suck.
It looks hip.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm looking for. I don't like that look. I really
don't.
Neither.
It's... The only film I've seen that was able to pull off that ultra drab, colors washed out, was Seven. Seven and Fight Club both used that, but they used it properly. It's basically David Fincher is the only one that seems to know how to use that filter correctly.
So
yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Yes, but I agree with you on the Evil Dead trailer, and as a guy who likes the original movies, I'm not interested in this one at all.
Speaking of Evil Dead... And I'm going to use this
actually
as
using that as a segue for thank you for picking up on that.
I am using it as a segue. long time ago when I was still married, I was tracking down a copy of Evil Dead because I really wanted to see the movie. Same time, my ex is like, I there was this movie I saw once where a tree was having sex with a woman. I'm like, that sounds stupid. I don't know what movie that is. But I really want to get Evil Dead. You got to spend $40 on this video for me. It's a great movie. I've seen it a lot. It's going to be awesome. And she pays the $40, and then the movie goes on, and then there's the scene where the woman's being sexually molested by a tree, and she goes, you f***ing liar. Because our topic tonight is classic movies that you actually haven't seen.
Or the subgenre of that franchises where you saw the sequels before the original.
Yes. Like
because
Evil
I
Dead.
Can tell you, well, no, not even Evil Dead. I'm thinking more like my brother started the Friday the 13th franchise because of his age when Friday the 13th Part 3 came out. So to him, Jason was always the killer. Let's, you know, just say it was Jason for part five, because to a kid, you don't really get the plot twist. That right. Jason was always the killer and has always had the hockey mask. So to him, Friday the 13th 1 and 2 don't feel right. On the other hand, I saw those in order, so they feel right to me. I can see from that perspective how seeing those films out of order, in a way, wrecks the franchise for him.
Well, I watched the Friday the 13th films. I watched the first one first, but all the rest I watched completely out of order.
Kevin, Friday the 13th?
I've only seen the first one, so...
Really?
Don't know what that means.
You've never even seen Jason as the killer.
No, I haven't. I liked the first one a lot, actually, but I never got around to seeing any of the sequels.
He's about the same as Betsy Palmer as the killer, just less dialogue.
I would actually say, to recommend some Friday the 13th, I would recommend 4, 5, and 6, which are a trilogy, the Tommy Jarvis trilogy, the same character, same main human character in all three of those, and you see his progression. I would recommend 4, 5, 6, and Jason X. Those are the really good ones in the franchise to me.
Okay.
A lot of people like 6, though. That's really not my favorite. But then again...
I think 6 is the best because I think it had the most sense of humor without seeming like it was trying to. It had the characters that, what's that thing people never do in slasher movies? Most of the time they acted rationally like real people would in a given situation.
Good point. But the guy that directed it, 6.
Tom McLaughlin.
Yeah, he did that. Then he did an episode of Freddy's Nightmares, a few episodes of Friday the 13th. Then after
and
that...
he co-created She-Wolf of London, the 1990 syndicated series.
Yeah, but the majority of his work has been Lifetime original movies.
Are you going to use this as a segue into that cyber sex movie we were talking about earlier today?
I'm not going to segue into it, but yeah, he did that movie. I'm reviewing that movie in a couple weeks.
I saw Wes Craven's New Nightmare before I had seen any of the other Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
I think could actually absolutely ruin the franchise if that's the one you see first. Not because it's bad, but because the whole thing is like a meta in-joke to all the other movies.
Now, see, I saw that and I liked it. I liked it a lot. I was familiar with the character because my cousin was allowed to watch all those movies from the time he was like 4 years old. So he'd seen all the Evil Dead movies. I'm like 6 years old and I'm hanging out with him at his house. He's talking about Evil Dead and stuff. So I was familiar with all the movies, but I didn't see this one until I was 12 years old. I think it was right when Wes Craven's New Nightmare came out. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was a fun movie. And then in college was actually the first time I went back and watched all the original series. And then I watched New Nightmare again, and I found that I liked New Nightmare probably a little bit more. Actually, having seen the other ones. But the 3 and 4 are still my favorites from that series. Because they're kind of in sequence. They have overlapping characters.
So is 5. Well, and so is 5 with Alice and the baby.
Yeah, 4 and 5 are in sequence.
I think 3, 4, and 5 of those... Well, even, you know, you got Nancy from part 1 coming back in 3, so
right.
Really 1, 3, 4, and 5 really do have kind of a continuity to them. 2 to me is kind of the Halloween 3 of that franchise. You know,
yeah, because
it's a good movie in and of itself, but it absolutely does not fit in the continuity of the rest of it.
That's just the gay one.
I hated that one.
It's a good movie, though. Gay or not.
It is.
Because I didn't pick up on the gay allegory until later. Now that I recognize the gay allegory, I find the movie much more amusing. The gay panic the kid goes through, and the whipping in the shower,
and the fact that he has to sleep with him, and he's got a probe game in his bedroom and stuff. Yeah.
The fact that he leaves the woman that wants to sleep with him to go tell his friend he wants to sleep with him.
And he has to be rescued by his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the whole...
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about that one, though, Kevin. The main actor is actually gay. The director is actually gay. The writer of that one is actually gay. Yet all of them say, none of us ever put anything gay into this. It just sort of happened.
No, the writer has... The writer has admitted that he did that on purpose.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're gay. Obviously, that's going to, you know, influence your writing. I mean, your life influences your art. So, you know, it's going to come out some way or one way or another.
I see what you did there.
It's going to come out, huh?
Come out one way or another.
Please tell me you intended that.
I did not. I cannot lie. I wish I did. But it's just as funny, so I'll pretend. I'll take credit for it anyhow.
I picked up on it right away, at least.
I know.
Another one that I watched out of order was Alien. Because I watched Alien 3 first. When
the
it,
worst
like...
film in the entire franchise.
You think it's worse than Resurrection?
Oh, hell yeah. Resurrection, as bad as it was the apology for how bad Alien 3 pissed me off.
3 has grown on me over the years. I hated it when it came out and I saw it for the first time. But it's grown on me over the years. I like the cinematography. There are things I really do like about it. It's not great.
To me, Alien 3 is one of the worst films of all time. Despite David Fincher, not in spite of him. Yeah. He tried his damnedest to make that movie a good movie. And there are so many plot holes and things that make no sense. And when you know the history of that movie, you understand why. That script, the final movie...
Wasn't it supposed to be on Earth originally?
Together from, yeah, at one point. That movie was pieced together from 17 different scripts.
I think, honestly, I think its biggest sin is it's boring. But
I think its biggest sin is absolutely nothing whatsoever makes any sense. Because, okay, let's think about this. Kevin, you know how I overanalyze everything, right?
Of course, yeah.
All right, I'm willing to overlook how the facehugger got on board. When the alien queen was on there, maybe she dropped an egg that they missed. Okay, fair enough. But what kind of fire protocols does the United Systems military have in the future? Because think about it. The alien cuts itself and starts a fire. Now, all the humans are in cryo sleep. What's the computer do? Does it try to put the fire out? Does it vent all the oxygen? Why would there even be oxygen in there when they're in cryo sleep? What kind of fire protocols does it have when the first option, when a small fire erupts, is put the humans into a life pod and jettison them into space? I'm serious.
I blame the company.
And then to go back to the company. Okay, you've got a prison planet with a bunch of killers. We're really supposed to believe that Weyland-Yutani is going to ship supplies to this company every 3 or 4 months, because they say that in the script, that they get a supply ship every couple of months, to a bunch of convicted murderers because they found God? This is a company that's willing to kill its own people right in the room with you for a financial advantage. Are we really supposed to believe this?
Maybe these guys are paying them well. I don't know. I mean, morality isn't really high on the Weyland-Yutani Corporation's list. So if the prison planet's shipping out some decent cash somehow, maybe...
Well, okay, I've got another one. How does a creature with no eyes have POV shots? That I want to blame Fincher.
That's definitely... But again, those shots looked cool. I like the cinematography for the movie. It's attractive.
My guess is that David Fincher was not familiar with the Alien franchise, and he didn't know that it didn't have eyes when he shot those scenes. And then they did the effect shots later, and he's like, crap, all these POV shots I did, it doesn't have eyes.
Put them in anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, you watch the Alien 3 DVD, and you find out just how little the studio cared. Because he brought up to them, we have to explain how the facehugger gets on board. The audience, I think it was Hill and Giler were the ones that said, the audience won't care. They'll just accept it. We need to move the story along right from the get-go. So right there, they had total contempt for their audience. The audience will accept it. Just deal.
Well, see, when I watched Alien 3, it was right when it came out in 92. So I was 12.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, when you're 12, every movie is awesome.
That's not true. I saw Red Dawn when I was 12, and I hated it. I still hate it.
Well,
Powers Booth is pretty cool, though.
Red Dawn is a classic movie I've never seen.
Oh, there we go. Back into the topic a little bit.
Kinda.
Well, I don't know how Josh feels about Red Dawn. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it.
I think it's really slow and boring, actually.
Well, all right, then let me ask both of you. Which 2000 movie did you see first? 2001 or 2010?
2001. I still haven't seen 2010.
Yeah, I've never seen 2010 either.
All right, then both of you need to see 2010, because it's a far superior movie in every single way.
Are you dissing Kubrick?
Yes, I am. 2001 is one of the most god-awful, boring, definition of pretentious movies ever. Even Arthur C. Clarke, the writer of the movie, and who wrote the novella it was based on, said if Kubrick had just followed his script, that movie would have been only a little over an hour long. Instead of the original cut that was released to theaters was 2 hours and 40 minutes long. Oh. And well, then they cut almost 20 minutes after the first week. That movie is pure. I am making art.
Yeah, when I first saw that movie, all the like stuff floating in space with the ballet music
for like 7 straight minutes.
I'm like, okay, that's pretty. You know, wish something would happen.
Yeah, I mean that's my issue with the movie. It's another movie with cinematography. I think it's a gorgeous movie, but there's almost no story to it.
Yeah, when you do have the brief story of, on the ship, you know, with Hal causing his troubles. I liked that chunk of it, that about 45 minutes.
The middle part of it, yeah, the middle chunk of it.
And then I hate the last half hour of that thing.
I still don't fully get the ending. I've seen it 3-4 times, I think. I still don't really get the ending.
It won't be explained in 2010, but the ending will make slightly more sense when you see 2010.
Now, by ending, you mean the closing shots, or does it explain the 20 minutes of just flashing colors?
It kind of explains all of that while explaining none of it. Because one of the things, and I both respect and despise Peter Himes for doing this, there was a scene in the book, the very last line of dialogue, "My God, it's full of stars," is not actually in the movie of 2001, but it was shot. That was one of those scenes that was cut after the first opening week in 69. So that is the very first shot of 2010, the "My God, it's full of stars." And if you can remember that 2010 was made in 1984 because the Russians and Americans almost going to war with one another is a major, major subplot that pushes the story along. Uh-huh. It's an amazing movie. You've got John Lithgow, you've got Roy Scheider, you've got Helen Mirren as the Russian captain. You've got the return of Keir Duella as Bowman. You've got the original voice of Hal back. You've got Candace Bergen as Sal, the female version of Hal back on Earth.
Huh.
2010 is a phenomenal movie. Just phenomenal.
I should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I need to see.
Make sure you get it widescreen, because the movie is just gorgeous.
2001 is one of those movies I have a lot of trouble with, because I like aspects of it. I like the integration of music and visual. I like that middle section of the movie. I kind of like parts of it, but also it does have that, it is pretentious. It is the guy trying to just, I'm making art, and it's one of those love hate things with me. There are things I really love about it, and there are things I really hate about it. I'll just put it this way, I don't go out of my way to watch this movie, but I do occasionally catch glimpses of it.
All right, Kevin, before we talk again, you've got to find 2010. 2010 is an absolutely, I cannot recommend it higher. It's a phenomenal film. The ending is probably the only part you'll have issues with, because it's a little too literal for its own good. Okay. That's the biggest complaint. Not that it's bad, just it's too literal for its own good.
Well, I'll have to give it a shot, because yeah, it sounds. I mean, I've seen it in, you know, at stores before. I'm like, this looks pretty good, and I've never gotten around to it.
And for years, they've been trying to make 2069 and 3001, and I just say leave them alone.
Then talk more about classic films that we haven't seen. I know Kevin has actually never seen Pulp Fiction. A lot of people consider that one a classic.
I've not seen Pulp Fiction.
All right, then let me ask you this, Jowski. If Kevin would go to see Pulp Fiction, but he would see it on FX, would he have still not seen the movie?
Pretty much.
I love when channels like FX and ABC try and show something like Pulp Fiction or Boogie Nights. You go, no, you're not actually seeing the movie then.
We read this article today about this character that supposedly inspired Jules from Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Oh, Saint Moses the Black?
Yes. It was back in 330 AD, and he was a slave, but he was so mean, they fired him. He was fired from being a slave.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he traveled around and just murdered people and sheep, swam across rivers with a knife in his mouth to, like, try and hunt people down. And then he found God, and he worked in a monastery for years. And then bandits came to the monastery, and he went medieval on them. And he's, like, dragging them across the church, like, bound up, telling the other monks, it's gonna be cool.
Alright, then let me ask you guys, what are some movies where you saw the remake, not before the original, but before you even knew there was an original? When you thought the remake was an original movie until you found out it's a remake?
Last House on the Left.
I mean official, not ripoffs.
Last House on the Left was a remake of The Virgin Spring.
No, that was a ripoff of The Virgin Spring. So no, that doesn't fit my criteria, because that falls under ripoff.
Because I've never seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I saw the remake, but I knew there was an original movie. So that doesn't quite fit the criteria. By the way, that movie sucked.
The original's pretty decent.
The That's Fly is one that I saw the remake long before I knew.
The Thing.
Really?
The original Thing.
Oh, the original, the 1982.
Which is a remake of The Thing from Beyond Space, or whatever the hell it is.
The Thing from Another World, 1951.
Yeah. I did not know that was it was a remake. Until recently, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fly is one that I saw the remake that didn't even know it was a remake of the old Vincent Price movie.
Cronenberg one.
Help me! Help me! Yeah, that one.
What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Because I'm usually pretty aware when they're remakes.
How about something like, because a lot of people didn't realize The Italian Job, that Edward Norton movie.
See, I knew that was a remake. I've never seen the original, though. Which
Ocean's 11?
I knew that was a remake.
I actually like the ending of the original better. I don't like the original better. It's got a much better ending to it. Do you guys know how the original ends?
I've actually never seen either.
Of what, Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
I've never seen the original, only the remake.
At the end, you know, it's got Sinatra and all them and Sammy Davis Jr. and all that. They end up, all the money that they stole, they're storing in their friend's coffin. And the mortician ended up taking the wrong coffin and cremating it. So they lost all the money, and they just kind of walk away with this, damn it! you gotta admit, that's a good ending for a heist flick.
That is.
I guess I could say Maltese Falcon, since technically it was a remake of a earlier version based on the Dashiell Hammett novel. But I was also aware it was a novel, so I don't know if that counts.
Cape Fear. I never knew that was a remake until years after the fact, and I still have actually never seen the original Cape Fear.
You're referring to the De Niro one?
Yeah, the Scorsese one, the 1991. Yeah.
Ugh, I hated that flick.
I liked it, but it was, like, so long. I'm like, they could have told this story with an hour less time.
The original wasn't very good either.
The whole thing with Max Caddy, like, trying to seduce the daughter and, like, giving her all the what's that author, Henry Miller? All the, like, oh, you got to read all these sex books. It was just, it was like, a half-hour subplot that didn't need to be there.
I can tell you one that I saw all three of the sequels before I saw the original, and this is because as a kid, you know, when you're 10 years old, black and white bugs you. And that's Psycho 2, 3, and 4 I saw before I ever saw Psycho. Because I'm like, why would I go to a black and white movie after these, you know, violent color movies?
You know, Psycho, I really, really wanted to see that movie because I'd heard a lot about it, and I was like, this is supposed to be a great horror movie. And my friends are like, it's black and white, I don't want to watch it. So I watched that movie alone. And then they're like, here. Oh, I love Psycho.
I actually think Psycho 2 is the best film in that franchise. I'm not saying any smack about Psycho. I think Psycho 2 is a phenomenally good thriller.
But the thing is,
my wife and I watched that one night. And she had, you know, she hasn't seen the original since she was a little girl. And we were both like, this is really a strong film.
Because I've never seen 2 or 3, but I've seen 4.
And 4 is kind of a prequel sequel. Half of it's a prequel, half of it's a sequel.
Yeah, because it's him just like on a radio talk show. Oh, you want to know why I killed people?
Well, that's because Anthony Perkins, who also directed it, was dying of AIDS at the time. And he literally just did not have the strength for a regular movie shoot. So that was, they basically worked around the fact that he was not long for the world. Which is kind of good of the production to, you know, not make him do it.
Fistful of Dollars is a remake of Yojimbo, which I did not know at the time I saw Fistful of Dollars.
Is that a remake or a knockoff?
It's a complete, actually...
Because, like, you make the same
It's a remake. It's a remake, than the fact that it's the exact same story and everything. And Leone admitted that it was a remake, and Kurosawa sued him for not getting the rights to remake it.
But would you say the same thing about The Seven Samurai and The Magnificent Seven? To me, that's an American ripoff rather than an American remake.
Well, I don't know. It's... With the remake, I kind of like it when they do something different with it, like turning it into a Western. So that's, I don't know, I guess it's kind of a knockoff, but at least it does something different with it.
On that same note...
Fistful of Dollars is great.
On that same note, Kevin, then what do you think about Battle Beyond the Stars from Corman, where that was a ripoff of The Magnificent Seven, but set in outer space?
I haven't seen it. That sounds awesome, though.
Oh, you need to... Both of you right now, trailer for Battle Beyond the Stars. And Kevin, you're not going to believe who did the special effects. An unknown little man named James Cameron.
Huh.
Ruthless invaders. A defenseless planet. Battle Beyond the Stars. A lone youth escapes on a last-ditch mission that begins at the edge of the universe.
Oh no.
The story of a boy who finds more than he expected.
Burn.
And all he can handle.
Does your species have kissing?
Oh, yes. We have that.
Try one. That's a hot dog. It comes from Earth. Do you like it?
There's no dog in this.
Mm-mm. Soybean meal, niacin, dextrose, and sodium nitrate flavoring.
That's what we call meat back home.
Battle Beyond the Stars. Starring Richard Thomas, George Pappard, Robert Vaughn, John Saxon. A battle beyond time, beyond space.
Nice kick, fire!
That ends in a desperate gamble.
They'll be able to board us.
It won't make any difference.
Get that hatch open! No!
Battle Beyond the Stars.
John Saxon ever not play the villain? Seems like he always plays the villain.
Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 3. He wasn't the villain in that.
Yeah, but he's an ass.
He was an asshole in it, but he wasn't the villain.
I guess you, if you're at Freddy Krueger, you can't be the villain, but still.
Yeah, he was an asshole in those movies, but he...
The comments on this video, this one says, a bunch of untalented acting by nobodies.
Really?
And then somebody commented on that saying, you dumb f***.
That movie looks awesome. I'm going to track that down. It looks like a lot of fun. It's almost got a Flash Gordon kind of vibe to it.
Same year as Flash Gordon, too.
But the person's like, you dumb f***. Those were actually fairly well-known actors, you know. I'm assuming you are fresh off of your mother's t-. Anyway, let's just see how famous history regards your own favorite stars of today, 30 years from now.
Did you also notice that Sybil Danning was a nobody at the time? She didn't even get mentioned in the starring credits, but she plays a pretty major character. her character actually is so, her costume was so revealing. When the movie was shown on NBC, they actually had to crop the frame a little extra to make sure that they didn't have all her cleavage in frame.
So I'm going through to try and find remakes that I saw long before the original. Enemy Mine. Apparently it's a remake of Hell in the Pacific.
Huh. Yeah, a remake if you consider taking the same story and setting it in outer space, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yes, it's a remake of, you know, the two soldiers. I think it's a Japanese soldier and an American soldier. They get trapped on a deserted island. Yes, it's the same story, but I would hesitate to call it a remake.
Yeah, that goes hand in hand with the Kurosawa thing with the American versions.
Yeah, I'm interesting. Like, what is a... What is the definition of a remake? It seems like we're kind of defining a remake at this point as something that basically is the same movie with a different cast.
Well, is
or at least intends to be.
Yeah, like the new shitty Red Dawn movie. I hate Red Dawn to begin with. This one looks even worse somehow.
Yeah, it does.
No, and I like we've discussed it before. I like Chris Hemsworth, so it's not that, but the rest of it just looks stupid.
Well, all right, how about Dune? Did any of you guys see the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries before Lynch?
No, I saw Lynch long before.
I saw the Lynch one first.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't seen the sci-fi one. Even though Jowski told me it was pretty good, I just haven't seen it.
Well, Joshua would debate me on that.
Because it's basically they didn't have the budget to really do anything, so it's more or less a televised stage play.
Dune stage play.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a play. Nothing really happens. It's overly long, and that's a. I know they were going for miniseries, but my God, that could have used editing.
Yeah,
that really could have used editing.
I liked the follow up Children of Dune better than Dune, though.
Then let me ask you guys: you saw the TV series before you saw the movie the TV series was based off of?
Highlander.
You saw the TV show before you saw any of the movies?
I just 2 years ago was the first time I saw Highlander.
No, you'll still hate me that
Kevin?
Highlander, the first Highlander movie is still the only one I've seen of the movie series.
Good. Stop there.
From what I've heard, is probably the best decision.
Yeah, okay. I love the first Highlander movie. Highlander 2 will make you vomit in rage. Highlander 3 is not that bad. And Highlander Endgame will not make a damn lick of sense, even if you've seen the TV series. The TV series just allows it to make a little slightly more sense, and The Source is one of the most insulting movies I've ever sat through.
And I like the TV series a lot, actually. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I watched the Highlander movie because I liked the animated series so much.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm just saying. I know you hate it, but I actually kind of liked that animated series. Came on after Sailor Moon.
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah?
When you run into Jowski tomorrow at work, would it be out of line for me to ask you to punch him in the...
I will on... next time I see him, Sunday, will be when we reconvene, and I will cause some physical harm to Jowski for you.
All right. No, because I was looking over at like my laser discs, and... I was thinking, there are a lot of people out there who love Buffy the Vampire Slayer and have never seen the movie with
Don't want to. They're like, oh, it's old. It probably sucks. There's a lot of people that just disregard that there was a movie that series came from.
Well, the only reason I even own it on Laserdisc is because my friend worked on it. Hank did the vampire makeup, so I have him autograph my laser for it.
Whole reason I went and watched that movie is because it was talked up as, hey, Pee-wee Herman in a vampire movie.
It was a okay movie. I liked the movie. I've only seen like three episodes of the series, by the way.
Series sucks.
Yeah, I
know you don't like Allison Hannigan. But I like Allison Hannigan, so I kind of like her in that. But other than that, yeah, I wasn't really fond of the series.
You know, it's another classic movie I've never seen. The Silent Nosferatu.
If you want to see a good, really good remake of that. The 1970s Klaus Kinski.
I have heard that's supposed to be really good.
It's really creepy. But to go back to the TV series thing, you also run into ones where people don't even know that the TV show is based off a movie. Such as, do you guys remember the TV series Alice? set in the diner with the Kiss Margaret.
I never saw it. Yes, I've heard of it.
Based off of a Martin Scorsese film called Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Oh.
No, very few people know that Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore is the basis for Alice, the TV show, the sitcom.
Huh. I did not know that. You're right.
That's so in that regard, people kind of, most people have seen the TV show from my generation, and they go, there was a movie? Yes, there was a movie. Radically different in tone and everything, but yes, technically there was a movie.
Weird Science was a TV series I saw before I saw the movie.
I didn't know that was...
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, mid-90s, watching a lot of... Was it on USA, I think?
USA, yeah.
Yeah.
It was on the same block with that Bike Cop show, the Campus Cops, and Swamp Thing, the series.
I think I only watched Weird Science, but I know I watched... The things I watched in USA were like that, wrestling, and Silk Stockings.
Oh, I loved Silk Stockings.
I formative years, I'm like 12, 13, 14, Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings was so full of side boob and side butt, wasn't it?
That was a hot show. That was a hot show. Loved Silk Stocking.
MASH.
Yes, that was a movie. I knew that, but...
That is one I've actually never seen the movie.
Yes, I've never seen
the movie.
Movie's
way better.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the big, big change from the movie to the TV series. Everything. It's the same characters, but there's no continuity. I mean, the movie is a dark, serious flick, and they wanted a much lighter tone, so they basically rebooted the TV series for it. And you want to know how that gets really creepy? The character of Trapper John. Remember the character? Remember the TV show Trapper John MD?
Yeah.
Okay, Trapper John was a character on MASH. He eventually, when his tour was up, he went back to America. Okay, and that's the same character technically that Trapper John MD is. Here's the thing. Trapper John MD is not a spinoff of the TV series MASH. That's a spinoff of the movie. The character they used in Trapper John MD is the movie version of the character. Because in the TV show, Trapper John did not have any children. In the Trapper John MD series, he had children, like he did in the movie. So that makes that TV series a continuation of the movie, but not of the TV series that was a continuation of the movie. How's that for logic?
My brain hurts.
I just found out that, did you know that Mr. Belvedere was spun off of a movie?
Well, I knew there was
but that's one I never saw the original of.
Well, the original was from 1947 and actually had two sequels, Mr. Belvedere Goes to College and Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell.
I don't know. Well, a lot of people don't realize In the Heat of the Night was a Sidney Poitier movie.
Yeah, I'm actually more familiar with the Sidney Poitier one. Yeah, I've never seen either, but...
I've watched my wife and I watched the hell out of the TV series in the 90s. When I think it was like TBS or TNT had him on every night right when we were getting home from work. So we'd be making dinner while watching In the Heat of the Night.
Really?
Yeah, so I watched the hell out of that show. And come on, it's Archie Bunker as a small-town Southern sheriff with a black second in command. That's pretty awesome.
That sounds pretty fun. What else? I saw the Ghostbusters cartoon show before I saw the movie.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I thought the
but I don't really remember much about the cartoon. That's the
okay. Here's one sticking to the Ghostbusters. How about the Ghostbusters, the Filmation cartoon? More people saw that without even realizing that that was a continuation of the 70s live action TV series.
Huh. Yeah. You think you mentioned that before? Maybe it was on a radio show or something.
When I was young and Toxic Crusaders was on the air, I never knew that was based on a movie. Because I was like 10. It wasn't a movie that was in my world.
That's true.
And another one that came to mind, Odd Couple. I thought the movie was based off of the TV series when I was younger.
Oh, not the other way around.
Yeah. Well, actually, the movie was based off of a play.
Yes.
Well, if you want to go like that, look at Little Shop of Horrors, the 1986 one. That's not a remake of the Roger Corman movie.
The play
the
is Corman a remake.
Movie that was turned into a play, and the play was turned into the movie. So that movie is a remake of a play, which is a remake of a movie.
I'm not a big fan of either of them, to be honest. So,
oh, I
or
like
any of them. I've seen both versions of the movies, and I've seen production of the stage play, and I like none of them. So,
fair enough. Well, all right. How about? And I know you two are not going to be in this category, but people that saw Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula before ever seeing Bela Lugosi's Dracula, which technically is, you know, not even the first adaptation, but it's the most famous of that.
Right.
Book.
Actually, I saw that one long before I saw Bela Lugosi's. I mean, I knew about Bela Lugosi's, but I actually didn't watch the old one.
I'm not sure if I've seen the Bela Lugosi one. I know I haven't seen the Bram Stoker one.
I actually didn't get around to watch
it. 7 times in 1992 I went to see that in the theater.
So I'm guessing you liked it then.
A little bit.
I actually wanted to see it. It looks good. Gary Oldman looks awesome as Dracula.
It's a great, great movie, and it is a pretty damn accurate adaptation of the book, too.
Obviously,
Really damn close. Even the stuff that makes no sense in the book, they still included in the movie, just for completeness sake.
That's fun. I saw Dracula Dead and loving it, and I know that's a parody of Bram Stoker's Dracula, which probably would make me enjoy the Mel Brooks movie more.
No, because parody would require it being funny.
I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny.
No, have you seen the movie Heat?
The Al Pacino
flick
with Val Kilmer
and Rollins.
It's a remake.
Yeah, I knew Heat was a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of Michael Mann's
L.A. Takedown.
Yeah, same director, and he actually, because NBC cut it down and just butchered the movie, so he disowned it.
It was a TV movie.
Yeah, well, it's
I've got it from its original NBC broadcast, which should surprise nobody.
Michael Mann disowned L.A. Takedown after NBC cut it down dramatically to fit its time slot, though it was still 3 hours long. Mann eventually said, "You can call it a Michael Smithy or an Alan Mann movie, but not a Michael Mann movie."
It's pretty decent. It's got Tom Noonan as one of the stars, which is pretty cool. I'm a big fan of Tom Noonan.
So he disowned it and remade it his Heat.
I'm not saying Heat is better or worse than L.A. Takedown, but I just never liked Heat. I never thought that was that good of a movie.
I like Natalie Portman.
I just have a hard time buying Al Pacino beating up Henry Rollins.
Yeah, that would be a difficult one for me, I think.
I mean, I just had a hard time seeing Al Pacino pistol whip Henry Rollins into a bloody mess. I went, yeah, if that wasn't in the script, that wouldn't have happened.
Rollins is cut, man. I wouldn't want to mess with Henry Rollins.
Especially because, like, 1994 Henry Rollins.
Bringing back to classic movies you've never seen, I brought up a list of classic movies I'm glancing through. I know Kevin's, like, favorite movie of all time is Lawrence of Arabia.
Not my favorite. It's my third favorite movie. It's behind Snatch and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I've actually never seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Long. But it's really acted.
I don't think I've ever seen the whole movie.
Because
I always fall asleep.
It is a very long movie. I love the acting, the cinematography, the music is stunning. Everything about it. It is long, though. It is very long.
It's a Wonderful Life. I haven't seen it from start to finish. I've seen just chunks of it here and there.
When that was in the public domain, you could not escape that movie on Christmas because every channel showed it. Every channel shows Night of the Living Dead every Halloween.
Yeah.
They did that with they did that with It's a Wonderful Life back in the 80s.
I genuinely hate that movie. My dad loves it. I hate it. So with a fiery passion of 1,000 burning suns.
I agree. I just despise that flick.
And look, Jimmy Stewart, I liked him in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think he's a good actor. That character, though, is insufferable. I just want to pop him in the face.
I actually think Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind is worse.
She is the Bella of
old movies.
I have not seen that movie because I've heard it's basically just racism and sexism, and probably wouldn't.
I will give you that. Scarlett O'Hara is Bella from Twilight.
She's whiny, she's manipulative, she's defined by her man. Every time something goes wrong, all she does is throw a fit and cry until she gets her way. She's Bella Swan.
Jesus, yeah, I'm not okay. Well, now I'm definitely not seeing this movie.
And he gets fed up with her. He, like, pushes her down the stairs, gives her a miscarriage, and at the end, she's like, I need you! And he's like, I'm sick of your shit, woman. And he leaves.
Uh-huh. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, that's how he phrases it, but you know what he meant. He's like, f*** off, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah, because right now, AMC is showing 24 hours of Gone with the Wind the night we're recording this.
Oh my god, why?
I
didn't
see that.
At least they're showing it up. Hey.
Tomorrow night for Thanksgiving, they're showing Godfather for 24 hours.
Oh, hey, I was hoping you'd say
on
Rock
AMC.
Four.
I will give you
be anything left.
At least they're showing American movie classics for a change.
I was still hoping for Rocky IV.
Well, like, okay, how about franchises where you saw the original but none of the sequels? I gotta go on record. I've never seen Godfather 2 or 3.
Yep, me neither. I've only seen Godfather 1.
The first one. Yeah, only the first one for me.
And it's great. I love Godfather.
Love the first film. It's not. I'm not complaining about it at all. Just for whatever reason, I never got around to 2 and 3.
Have you read the book?
No. Mario Puzo book? No.
Because half of Godfather 2 is still part of the book. All the flashback stuff that's in Godfather Part 2 with Robert De Niro playing young Vito Corleone. That's all in the book for the original.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because Mario Puzo did the screenplay for both, and when they sat down to do the second one, he's like, well, we have all this backstory we didn't do. Let's make that part of this movie and make a parallel story of the two.
Oh, I've heard 2 is excellent, by the way.
Is excellent. Godfather 3 is terrible.
Well, I can tell you one franchise where most people, in America, I'm not faulting them for this, that they saw the second movie before they even knew the first movie existed, and that is the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Because Mad Max only had a small release in America. That's why in America, the Road Warrior was not called Mad Max 2, where it was everywhere else in the world. Because they said people aren't going to go see a sequel to a movie they've never heard of. So most of us saw the Road Warrior first.
You guys going to hate me? Never seen any of those movies.
I originally watched...
All three are good. All three are damn good flicks.
That's what I've heard, that they're all good movies.
The first time I watched The Road Warrior, I immediately knew it was a sequel because I watched it on Monster Vision, and Joe Bob said, oh, this is a sequel to Mad Max.
See, I saw it when it was new in 82. I saw it in my dad took me to the drive-in to see Road Warrior.
You guys remind me, though. I saw Escape from L.A. before I saw Escape from New York. I saw Escape from L.A. in theaters when it came out.
96, then.
Yep, and it was, I love both movies, but I love The Camp. Still to this day, I love The Camp from L.A. L.A.'s up there for me. That's one of those
did
movies that...
Did you know it was a sequel, though?
Or did
it was like just a standalone movie?
I can't remember if my dad told me, because my dad had seen, he took me to see it, and he had seen Escape from New York. I'm pretty sure he told me that it was a sequel, but I don't remember for sure if I was that aware of it. And then we got the Laserdisc. Remember, my dad had a Laserdisc player, so we rented Laserdisc.
Actually, another one...
of Escape from New York, and I watched that.
Another one where I saw the sequels first, I saw Jaws 2 when I was about 10 or 11, and I'm like, that movie was great, and my dad's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Then I saw Jaws 3, and I'm like, that one was even better, and my dad's like, no. And then he showed me Jaws, and he's like, now you see why you're wrong?
Well, on that note, what about if, let's just say for the sake of argument, some 13-year-old today watched like the Jaws movies backwards, and they started at 4. Or, good God, the Superman movies, and they start with Quest for Peace.
Oh, God. But I still like Jaws 3. For me, it's Jaws and Jaws 3.
There's a soft spot for Jaws 3, and I don't know why.
It's goofy. That's why it's campy. I like one scene in Jaws 2, and that's when the shark is on fire attacking a boat.
And I want to see the Jaws 3 that never happened. When the National Lampoon people wrote the script that Joe Dante was going to direct, it was going to be a spoof called Jaws 3 People Zero.
That would be good.
It was a Naked Gun style spoof of Universal trying to make a third Jaws movie, and the crew kept getting killed, whenever they were near a body of water by a shark, even if it was just like a toilet or a cup of water. And it was done by the National Lampoon people, and Joe Dante was sent to direct.
Another thing I was going to say about... I saw Child's Play 3 first in that franchise.
At least you didn't see one of the Bride of, Wedding of, Children of, Seed of... At least you didn't see any of those horrible, we're not even pretending we're a real movie anymore movies.
I saw of the Interrupt Leprechaun movies first, but I can't remember if it was 3 or 4.
In the Hood or Outer Space? Because 4 is in Outer Space.
I'm pretty sure it was in the Hood.
Then that would be 5. Or 6 if it was in the Hood 2.
Let me look it up. I gotta find...
Let me look that up, though, because Child's Play 1 is halfway decent, and it's the best of the franchise. But and I liked the stories.
I wasn't too.
But when I watched Bride of Chucky in theaters, my friend's like, that wasn't bad. And I'm like, go to hell. I'll take Child's Play 2 10 times before I watch that again.
Hey, I saw Child's Play 3 in the theater, okay?
I think it was 3 is the one I saw first.
Okay. So I was going to say 4 is in space, and 5 and 6 are in the Hood.
Yeah, I don't think it was the Hood ones, and I don't think it was... I definitely was not in the Hood, because it was in that... Because it says Leprechaun 3 came out in 95 and Space in 97, and both of those would have been roughly around the time period. But I'm pretty sure... I don't remember a Space Leprechaun, so I'm pretty sure this was 3.
Leprechaun 3 was in Vegas.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's the one I saw.
And he does run into some hoodlums.
And then, like, for the Critters movies, I saw 1 and 2, and then for whatever reason, I missed 3, and then I saw 4. So I saw the Critters films 1, 2, 4, 3.
I've just seen 1, 2, 4. I've actually never seen Critters 3.
But see, the weird thing about Critters 3 is the last 20 seconds are a setup for Critters 4.
Isn't Leonardo DiCaprio in 3, or is that 2? Yep.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio was in 3.
Very
and,
young.
And Angela Bassett and Brad Dourif are in 4.
Yeah, 4 is...
4 is fun, with them, the critters loose on that space station 200 years in the future.
Well, actually, out of all the horror franchises that have gone to space to die, Critters is the only one that makes logical sense for it to
because
be in
space. Because they're escaped space prisoners anyway.
Yeah, they were from space in the first place.
Yeah, that's Speaking what of. I always said. That one's not, you know, so they're in space now. It makes sense now.
Speaking of in space, how about that Dracula 2000 movie?
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh.
It's Gerard Butler as Judas.
They made a Dracula 3000 where Dracula is in space.
Yeah, and Coolio is it. That actually has, if not the dumbest ending ever, it's up there. Do you remember how Dracula 3000 ended?
No, I've only read the synopsis. I've never actually bothered to watch it because I know it's crap.
The sex bot, one of the Baywatch chicks, and Tiny Listler, you know, from the like Friday movies and stuff. The ship is heading into the sun to destroy Dracula, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. So he just looks at her. Want to go out with a bang? She goes, oh, yeah. And they go into like his bunk. He carries her and then the ship flies into the sun. And I'm like, that's the worst f***ing ending ever.
That's a great cheesy one-liner, though.
That's the worst ending than Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods ending is bad.
And it's still bad in Korean.
We can have this discussion, sort of. It's like, it's a Lovecraftian themed movie that doesn't end in a Lovecraftian way. That's what pisses me off about it.
I was going to say, though, I've seen Santa Buddies and Air Bud, but I haven't seen the other 15 movies in that franchise.
I think my wife's seen most of the early Air Bud movies. I think she's seen most of the early Bud movies.
I've seen none of them.
You're lucky.
All right, let me just finish closing the show out here. Yeah. You know, for Josh Hadley, Kevin Daly, I'm Alex Chowski. Catch us next week. Stay tuned for the projection booth. Good night.